Wonderful to be back here in Seattle.
每次回到西雅图都是非常的美好。
I think I've been away from here for over 10 years now.
我已经离开西雅图超过10年的时间了。
And I think, I don't know a lot of you, and I think a lot of you don't know me.
我对大家很多我都不认识，我想很多人也不认识我。
And, now that our family lives in New York, we don't come and visit as often.
我和我的家人目前住在纽约，我们没有那么常常的回来。
But it's always wonderful to be back here, and this place really feels like home.
每次回来的时候，都实在是觉得这地方就好像是我的家。
And it makes me think that the Lord also wants to have a home in our midst.
这也让我想到，我们的主盼望能够在我们当中能够找着家。
And that's the theme I wanted to share on today, and that is the house of the Lord.
这就是我今天要和大家分享的主题，那就是关于神的家。
He wants to find a dwelling place among his people.
他盼望能够在他的百姓当中能够找着居住的所在。
And this burden came about, a couple months ago when I was, in my devotion reading the book of Haggai.
And 这个负担呢是在我几个月之前当我早上灵修的时候在读到哈该书。
Now Haggai is a small book found in the Old Testament, buried in the minor prophets.
哈该是在旧约里面的一卷书，是在那个小先知书里面的一本。
And I thought we'd read through Haggai chapter 1.
我们要把哈该书第一章一起读。
I think for the sake of time, I'm just going to read through in English, and hopefully those in reading along in Chinese can follow.
我因为时间的关系，我就用英文来读。那读中文的弟兄姊妹就一起看。
For the sake of the youngsters in the audience, I'll give you a minute to find the book of Haggai.
对我们当中年轻的弟兄姊妹，我给你一点时间，能够找到哈该书。
Haggai chapter 1.
哈该书第一章。
You guys ready?
找到了吗?
Okay. In the second year of Darius the king, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says the time has not come even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, Consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to be put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God has sent them. And the people showed reverence for the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke by commission of the Lord to the people, saying, I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of Darius the king. If you turn to the next book, Zechariah,
请大家翻到下一卷书，就是撒加利亚书。
We're going to read one verse, and that's found in chapter 1, verse 3.
我们只读一节，就是第一章第三节。
Zechariah 1:3 reads, Therefore say to them, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you, says the Lord of hosts. You know, the Lord desires to find a dwelling place among his people.
你知道我们的主盼望能够在他的百姓当中能够找着安居的所在。
You know, during the time of the remnant, when Zerubbabel was the governor and Joshua was the high priest.
你知道那些渔民，当所罗巴伯是这个省长，那当那个约书亚是祭司的时候。
These were the leaders of the remnant, while Haggai and Zechariah were the mouthpiece of God.
那时候他们是百姓中间做领袖的，那在同时呢，这个哈该跟撒加利亚是为神做出口的。
And as they were prophets and the mouthpiece for God, they counseled the people.
他们是做先知，是神为神做出口的，他们在一边向为着神劝诫这些弟兄这些百姓。
Now, during the time of the remnant, the Lord was looking for a physical place to dwell amongst his people.
在渔民的时代，神在那边要找着一个物质的居所。
And today the Lord is looking for a spiritual house.
可是今天神在我们当中要找着一个属灵的房屋。
In order that he might dwell amongst his people.
好让他能够在他的百姓当中居住。
You know, in the Old Testament times, the physical place that the Lord resided was at first the tabernacle and then later the temple.
我们知道在旧约里面主要先找着那个物质的房屋，先是那个会幕，之后成为圣殿。
And I think we all know that today we are God's temple and we are the spiritual place where he desires to dwell.
我们知道现在我们就是神的殿，我们也就是神要在我们当中找着的居所。
So as we consider these passages in Haggai, I want us to think about the background behind these verses.
所以当我们一同来看哈该书的时候，我们要来看看在当时的背景。
And this background can actually be first found in the book of 2 Chronicles at the very end of that book.
这个背景呢，我们可以在历代志下后面最后的几章里面找着。
You know, the story kind of begins there and then it continues into the book of Ezra.
这一个故事呢，就从那边开始一直到以斯拉记。
So in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, we begin to see the end of the era of the kings.
我们在历代志下第36章，我们看见在这个王的，他们来到他们的尽头。
You know, the era of the kings where, the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah reigned, was, towards that, the end of that era, we know that most of them were wicked.
当我们看见当那个北国以色列跟南国犹大当他们的国度接近到尾端的时候呢，当时的王都是非常的邪恶。
And if you look at this 36th chapter, four kings are mentioned.
当我们来到历代志下36章的时候，这边有提到四个王。
And, three out of the four were considered wicked or evil.
在其中三个王里面是极其的邪恶。
And the third had such a short reign,They didn't even have time to document whether he was evil or good.
第三个王呢，因为是时间，他做王的时间太短了，甚至没有太多的记载。
But I think most Bible scholars consider this one an evil one as well.
不过在这个许多的读经的人都认为呢，这一个王也是邪恶的。
And then a lot of these kings were taken into captivity into Babylon.
那有些王呢，也被带到这个被掳之地。
And these kings did so much evil that God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come to Jerusalem and destroy everything.
因为这些王做了这么多的恶事，使得神允许尼布甲尼撒王来到耶路撒冷，把这个城毁了。
And 2 Chronicles documents the really sad state of the people of Israel.
在历代志下，这边记载着非常神百姓非常可怜的光景。
Maybe verse 14 will give us an idea of the sad state of God's people. It reads,Moreover, all the leaders of the priests and the people transgressed more and more, according to all the abominations of the nations, and defiled the house of the Lord which he had consecrated in Jerusalem.
在第14节，36章14节这边描述到当时神百姓可怜的光景。 众先知长和百姓也大大犯罪，效法外邦人一切可憎的事，污秽耶和华在耶路撒冷分别为圣的殿。
You know, and during the reign of these last three kings, it says Nebuchadnezzar took away all the vessels from the temple out to Babylon.
就在这个最后三个王做王的期间，尼布甲尼撒王将殿中一切的器皿能够带到巴比伦去。
There were so many vessels, I think it actually took Nebuchadnezzar three trips to haul all this loot from Jerusalem to Babylon.
因为在圣殿里面有这么多的器皿，这花了尼布甲尼撒王三次才把这些器皿运到巴比伦去。
And things got really bad for God's people, and the anger of the Lord fell upon his people.
因为神百姓的光景是如此的差，使得神的愤怒临到他的百姓。
And we won't go into it, but if you carefully look at chapter 36, it's a very sad state. Most of the Israelites were killed off, and those that were not killed, we know were taken into captivity in Babylon.
也许我们不就多讲细节，不过在36章里面记载着有许多的百姓被杀掉，那些没有被杀的呢就被掳到巴比伦去。
And we know that during this time, Solomon's temple was destroyed and the city was burned.
我们知道在那个时候所罗门所建的圣殿就被毁了，并且那个城也被毁坏。
But now we're going to fast forward 70 years, and after 70 years in captivity, the Lord began to work.
那我们现在要快转往前70年，在当他们在被掳之地70年之后，神开始他的工作。
And at the end of 2 Chronicles, the last few verses, it says the Lord stirred up the spirit of King Cyrus.
就在历代志下最后几节，这边讲到说，神在那边激动波斯王古列的心。
Now it's very interesting because King Cyrus was a foreign king.
这边非常有趣的是，这一个古列王他乃是一个外邦的王。
And yet he put forth this decree that the people of God were to go up to Judah, to leave Babylon to Jerusalem in order to rebuild God's house.
可是他在那边却下诏通告全国说，这个吩咐他在犹大的百姓，他神的百姓能够回到犹大去重建殿宇。
Maybe we can read this portion. It's in verses 22 and 23.
这是在22节和23节。
It says, Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, All the kingdoms of the earth the Lord of heaven has given me, and he commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who among you of all his people, may the Lord God be with him, let him go up.
波斯王古列元年，耶和华为要应验在耶利米口中所说的话，就激动波斯王古列的心，使他效扎通告全国说，波斯王古列如此说，耶和华天上的神已将天下万国赐给我们，又嘱咐我在犹大的耶路撒冷为他建造殿宇，你们中间凡做他子民的可以上去，愿耶和华他的神与他同在。
Now all of God's people were invited to go up to the promised land.
在这个时候，神所有的百姓都在那边受邀请，能够回到耶路撒冷。
In fact, it was the king's decree that whoever wanted to go could go.
实际上，在那个时候乃是那个王所下的招，谁愿意去都可以去。
But we know sadly that only a small number went.
可是非常可悲的是，只有少数的人回去。
And we find in Ezra chapter 2 that only a small congregation consisting of 42,360
在那个时候呢，在以斯拉第二章里面看见，总共回去的呢也只有42,360名。
And it says, there were a few servants and others that went with them, but in total less than 50,000 people.
在那个时候还有一些仆役，还有一些其他的人跟他们一起回去，不过总人数呢不会超过50,000人。
Now I'm going to assume that if those taken to captivity from the nation of Israel numbered in the millions.
如果我们这么假设，从在以色列地到被掳之地呢，这个人数呢，如果超过百万的话。
And if during that 70 years, they expanded in number, as the Israelites tend to do.
如果在那个70年间，他们就继续的在人数上面成长，就好像以色列人他们常常是这么做。
This 50,000 6,000 probably represented less than 1%.
而这些归回的少于5万人的这些百姓呢，是大约是他们总人数的少于他们的1%。
That's 1 out of 100 people.
那乃是每100人只有一个人。
The other 99 chose to stay behind.
而在其他的99名呢，就决定要留在。
You know, there's probably an audience of 400 people here, only 4 went.
就好像在我们这边如果有400人的话呢，大概只有4个人回去。
One out of 100, the other 99 stayed behind.
100人中间只有一个回去，其他99个人就留下了。
So this kind of tells you about the sad state of God's people in captivity.
这就是告诉我们在那个被掳之地神百姓那个可怜的光景。
No, even the heart of this foreign king was stirred up, and yet God's people were not stirred up.
我们看见在这个外邦的君王他的心被神所激动，可是神的百姓却不被激动。
A foreign king was moved to build God's house.And yet the hearts of God's people were not stirred up.
这一个外邦的君王他的心被激动要来重建神的殿，可是神的百姓却不是如此。
Okay, but that aside, I want us to now focus on the remnant.
那我们先把这个摆在一边，我们来看看这个余民。
So they were small in number, we know that they were less than 50,000.
我们看见他们人数不多，他们不会超过5万人。
Less than 50,000, they had to go and rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem.
那不会超过五万人的这些人呢，他们要回到耶路撒冷重建圣殿，并且是重修围墙。
You know, but this remnant wanted to do the recovery work of the Lord.
可是这些渔民呢，他们盼望能够做神恢复的工作。
They were small in number, but they were faithful and they were zealous.
他们人数不多，可是他们却是忠心，并且他们很热心。
They desired to see the temple of the Lord rebuilt.God's house rebuilt and the presence of the Lord returned.
他们盼望神的圣殿能够重新被建起来，神的居所重新被恢复，并且神的同在再回到百姓当中。
You know, I think we can find a New Testament, representation or equivalent of this remnant.
我们在新约里面可以找到和这一般渔民相似的这些人。
And to me, I think it can be found in Revelation chapter 3.
我们知道大概能够在启示录第三章里面找着他。
And in Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13, we find the church in Philadelphia.
在启示录三章，从第七节到第十三节，我们看到了腓拉铁腓的教会。
Now when the Lord talks to the church in Philadelphia, he says that they are a church with little power.
当我们的主讲到腓拉铁腓的教会的时候，他说他们是略有一点力量。
They only have a little bit of power. They...were probably small in number and they were probably weak.
他们只有一点的力量，他们人数也不多，他们也非常的软弱。
And yet they were faithful.
可是他们却是忠心的。
You know, they wanted to be a testimony for the Lord and because of that, the Lord loved them and protected them.
他们盼望能够成为主的见证，也因着如此使得主能够爱他们，也能够保护他们。
And I think similarly, this remnant was small in number and yet,The Lord loved them and protected them.
同样的，这一般渔民，他们的人数不多，可是主爱他们，也保护他们。
They possessed only a little bit of power, and yet they were able to lay the foundation of the temple very quickly.
虽然说他们只有一点点的力量，可能他们却能够很快的将这个圣殿的根基建立起来。
And we find that at the end of Ezra chapter 3.
我们在以斯拉第三章快结尾的时候，我们看到这个点。
You know, the fervency of that remnant was real when they came back to Jerusalem and started to rebuild.
当这些渔民向着主的这个火热乃是真实的，他们能回到耶路撒冷能够重建。
And in Ezra chapters 2 and 3, we see, their testimony.
在以斯拉第二章第三章里面，我们看见他们的见证。
It talks about how they offered freely of all they had.For the building up of God's house.
我们看见他们如何白白地将他们所有的献上能够来建造神的殿。
It talks about how they supported one another by sharing their money and sharing their food with those who laid the foundation.
并且呢他们也在那边彼此分享他们的财物并且食物为着那一些在那边建造根基的。
And it says how they gathered as one man.
并且他那边也提到说他们如何聚集在一起如同一人。
They had a unity.
在这边有一个合一。
And I think this unity, this unity of the body, or unity of this assembly, is a key trait and key characteristic, whenever the testimony of the Lord is found.
我相信这一个当一个会众当一个这个身体聚集那个合一乃是神乃是主见证的一个非常重要的一个特色。
You know, as it describes this remnant in Ezra, it reminded me of the early church in Acts.
当看以斯拉这一章节的时候呢，让我想到在使徒行传里面那个初期教会的光景。
You know, they were also few in number, but they shared everything.
他们虽然人数不多，可是他们却是凡物公用。
If you remember in Acts chapter 2, they were like one community and they shared everything.
如果大家记得在《使徒行传》第二章里面所记载的这些信徒们，他们聚在一起，他们凡物公用。
It speaks of how all who believed were together and had all things in common.
他里面提到说，他们这些相信的人呢，聚在一起，他们凡物公用。
And when it says when Peter stood up to speak, the 11 stood with him.
当彼得站起来传讲福音的时候，那十一个使徒都和他一同站立。
They stood together.
他们一同站立。
And this word together is found throughout the, chapter 2 of Acts.
当使徒行传第二章里面我们看见他们在一起的这一句话呢能够一同在这个这一章里面各项的事情里面记载。
You know, this togetherness, I think, was a characteristic of that early church.
我相信这一个在一起乃是那个初期教会的里面的一个特性。
You know, they lived together, they spoke together, they gathered as one man, as one body.
他们聚在一起，他们一起传讲，并且他们在一起成为一个身体。
And if I were to guess, I believe the church in Philadelphia probably also exhibited such unity.
如果我要猜的话呢，我相信在腓拉铁菲的教会，他们聚在一起有那个合一的光景。
You know, even though they were small and it says they only had a little bit of strength, we know that Philadelphia means brotherly love.
虽然说他们微小他们也略有力量可是我们知道腓拉铁菲的意思就是弟兄相爱。
So I think this is how the remnant was a testimony for the Lord.
对我也相信这就是为什么这些渔民乃是主的见证。
And how they were a testimony to the Lord as the foundation of the temple was being laid.
那这就是为什么他们是主的见证并且在那边修造了主圣殿的这个根基。
And this marks the beginning of the recovery work of the Lord during that time.
这也就是主在当时要做恢复工作的一个开始。
But unfortunately, the zeal of that remnant was challenged immediately.
可是非常不幸的这一些渔民呢他们的火热他们的热心呢就马上受到了挑战。
They were challenged with persecution.And with trials.
他们在那时候受到了逼迫也受到了试探。
And it was almost immediately after the foundation was laid, this persecution came.
在他们一建造这一个根基之后呢马上就受到了逼迫。
If you look at the beginning of Ezra chapter 4, it talks about how adversaries came to cause trouble.
当我们翻到以斯拉第四章的时候我们看见他们的敌人就来了。
And it says the people of the land weakened the hands of the Lord's people.
并且他们讲说在当地的这些敌人呢就使得神的百姓手发软。
And it says they troubled them in the building of God's house.
并且也搅乱他们。
You know, we can learn from this, I think. Whenever God's work of recovery is being done, the enemy will not sit idly by.
我想我们可以从这个点上面学到一些当神的开始恢复的工作开始的时候呢仇敌不会在那边坐着不动。
The enemy comes to hinder and to discourage and to destroy.
仇敌会来他在那边让我们失灰心并且要拦阻我们。
You know, whenever there is fervency and zeal for God's house, the enemy will come and slow that work.
不论哪里有关于这个神的家的热心跟火热仇敌就要来这边来试的要阻挡。
And we see this throughout church history. We see how the enemy comes to slow that work, to delay it, to weaken our hands, to prevent the building up of God's house.
从教会历史里我们看见仇敌如何来拦阻并且试的要单言这个主工作的成就。
You know, the last thing the enemy wants,is to see the recovery work of the Lord.
这个仇敌最不愿意看见的就是神恢复的工作的成就。
So let's now read Ezra chapter 4, towards the end of chapter 4 and into chapter 5. So Ezra 4 verse 24, it reads, The work on God's house in Jerusalem ceased, and it was stopped until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia.
以斯拉第四章第二十四节，这边讲到说，于是在耶路撒冷神殿的工程就停止了，直停到波斯王大利乌第二年。
And it continues to say, when the prophets Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo prophesied to the Jews who were in Jerusalem and Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who were over them, then Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel and Jeshua the son of Jehozadak arose and began to rebuild the house of God which is in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were there with them, supporting them.
我们继续看第五章第一节跟第二节。那时先知哈该和义多的孙子撒加利亚奉以色列神的名向犹大和耶路撒冷的犹大人说劝勉的话。于是撒拉铁的儿子所罗巴伯和约萨达的儿子约书亚都起来动手建造耶路撒冷神的殿，有神的先知在那里帮助他们。
So, because the people of the land came and brought persecution to God's people, we know that with this difficulty, they ceased building God's house.
我们知道因为当地的敌人起来在那边逼迫神的百姓，使得他们建造的工作就在那边停顿了。
We see that this remnant stopped building from the end of the reign of King Cyrus until the second year of the reign of King Darius.
我们看见他们就在那边停顿了，一直从五列王一直停顿一直到大利乌王第二年。
And then it says in Ezra chapter 5 verse 1 that the building continued.
一直到以斯拉第五章第一节里面讲到说他们建造的工作才继续开始。
But what the scriptures don't tell us here is that between the last verse in chapter 4 and the first verse in chapter 5 was a period of roughly 16 years.
这个圣经里面没有提到的是在借在四章二十四节跟五章第一节中间这边有大约16年的时间。
But we can calculate this because we know that the temple foundation was laid in 536 BC.And we know that the second year of the reign of King Darius was 520 BC.
可是我们可以做一点点的计算，因为从历史上面来看见，这个根基的建立乃是在主前536年，那大利乌王第二年呢，乃是在主前520年。
So between these two verses, 16 years.
所以在这个两节的经文中间呢，有16年的间隔。
The foundation was already laid, but no work on God's house was done for over a decade and a half.
这个神的殿的根基已经在一边立定了，可是在上面呢，却没有神的房屋的建造，一直要在16年之后才发生。
Okay, so with that as an introduction, I wanted us to focus this morning on those 16 years.
就用这个作为一个介绍，那我要盼望大家能够将我们的注意焦点摆在这个16年的时间。
I wanted us to consider what happened during these 16 years.
我盼望我们大家一同来思想在这16年中间发生了什么事。
Now we know that Ezra gives us no details between the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5.
我们知道在以斯拉记里面，以斯拉没有给我们任何的细节介乎在这个四章二十四节跟五章一节中间。
In Ezra, we find that at the end of chapter 4, the work ceased, and at the beginning of chapter 5, the work continued.
我们只看见是在第四章结束的时候呢，这个工程就停止了，一直到五章一开始呢，这工程又开始恢复建。
What happened during those 16 years? What happened to the remnant?
在这个中间的16年中间，这一些渔民当中发生了什么事？
And I think the answer can be found in the book of Haggai, chapter 1.
我相信他们所发生的事情的这个答案呢，能够在哈该书第一章里面找到。
So if you haven't put your finger in Haggai chapter 1, let's turn back to Haggai chapter 1.
如果大家还没有翻到哈该书第一章的话呢，请大家现在翻到那里。
You know, verse 3 and 4 say, Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses?While this house lies desolate. Now therefore, says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways.
这个第三节里面这么说，当时耶和华的话临到先知哈该说，这殿仍然荒凉，你们自己还住天花板的房屋吗？现在耶和华如此说，你们要省察自己的行为。
Brothers and sisters, this was a very stern warning to the remnant in Israel.
弟兄姊妹，这乃是对当时的渔民主一个非常严厉的一个警告。
And I think it's a stern warning to us today as well.
这对我们现今来讲也是一个非常严厉的警告。
You know, during those 16 years, the Israelites who laid the temple foundation and were so zealous for the Lord.
在16年前，他们这些渔民呢，他们在为着这个圣殿立了根基，并且他们心里面向着主充满了火热。
They now began to pursue their own purpose rather than the Lord's purpose.
可是在这个时候呢，他们是在那边追寻自己的目的，而不是追寻主的目的。
They began to pursue their own will instead of the Lord's will.
他们盼望寻求自己的旨意，而不是寻求神的旨意。
And they began to build their own houses instead of the Lord's house.
他们在一边建造自己的房屋，而不是建造神的房屋。
You know, these ones of the remnant who were called out of Babylon for the Lord's purpose were so full of zeal.
我们知道这一般从巴比伦被呼召出来的渔民，他们向着主是那么样的火热。
And now we know that their love for the Lord had grown cold, or perhaps lukewarm at best.
在这个时候我们看见他们向着主的爱呢，已经变得冷淡，最多只是不冷不热。
You know, brothers and sisters, does this ever happen to us?
弟兄姊妹们，这些事情有没有发生在我们身上呢？
Do you remember the zeal for the Lord in our hearts when we were first captured by him?
我们记得当我们当初被主得着的时候，我们向着他是何等样的火热吗？
Do you remember the fervency you had in loving your brother or sister?
我们记不记得我们是向着我们弟兄姊妹的爱是那样的火热的情况吗？
The zeal or desire to see God's body built up.
我们有这样子的火热，有这样子的盼望，能够得见主的身体能够被建立。
But then we can see how the world can creep in and distract us.
可是我们这时候看见这个世界是如何能够偷偷的进来，并且让我们的在我们身上里面做打岔的工作。
You know, first it's our education and then it's our career.
先是我们的教育，之后是我们的事业。
You know, then it can perhaps even be our family or our own homes and possessions.
那或者是我们的家庭，是我们的产业，并且我们的房，我们的家。
These things can actually distract us from the Lord's purpose.
在这些事情使得我们在跟随主的事上受到了打岔。
And these things can get in the way of that first love.
这个会在我们向着主的那个起初的爱上面有了一个拦阻。
And we see this in Revelation.
我们在启示录里面看见。
You know, if we're not careful, it's easy for the church in Philadelphia to become the church in Laodicea.
如果我们不留意的话呢，这个腓拉铁菲的教会会非常容易变成老底嘉的教会。
It's easy for us to quit on the Lord's purpose and become lukewarm.
我们很容易就不去再追求主的旨意，而变成不冷不热。
You know, in Revelation chapter 3, and I think you're all familiar with this, the church in Laodicea was characterized as being lukewarm.
在启示录第三章里面，我想这是大家都非常熟悉的经文。这里面讲到说，老底嘉的教会一个特色就是不冷不热。
And being lukewarm in spiritual things so displeased the Lord that you probably remember the stern warning he gave.
我们在属灵事上如果变得不冷不热，这对主而言呢是非常不讨他喜悦的。我们也记得主在那边所说的警告。
And we see.Sadly, we see this in the remnant. We see how during this time of persecution, the remnant grew lukewarm.
我们也在却非常可悲的在这一些回来的渔民身上看见了同样的情况。
And when we become lukewarm to the things of the Lord, we begin to focus on our own lives.
当我们对主的事不冷不热的时候呢，我们的注意焦点就摆在自己的生活里面。
We see from Haggai how these people now began to work on their own houses.Instead of God's house.
在这个时候我们从哈该的里面的劝勉里面看见当时的百姓他们如何只开始建造自己的房屋而不是建造神的殿。
They began to focus on their own lives instead of God's house.
他们在那边注意焦点摆在自己的生活里面而不是注意神的殿。
Perhaps their own career or perhaps building up of their own family.
也许是注意焦点摆在他们自己的事业上面或者是要建造他们自己的家。
The Bible tells us that they neglected the purpose of the Lord by which they were first called out of Babylon.
这圣经里面记载了他们已经在边失去了当初他们从巴比伦被呼召出来的那个目的。
And brothers and sisters, this is when the message of Haggai comes to the people.
弟兄姊妹，这就在那个时候，哈该的信息来到了神的百姓当中。
And we find that in Ezra chapter 5 verse 1 and Haggai chapter 1.
我们在以斯拉第五章第一节，并且在哈该书里面第一章我们看见。
So what does it mean that the Lord says through Haggai, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in paneled homes while this house lies desolate?
这个当主对他的百姓这么说，你们住在有天花板的房屋里，可是我却让神的殿荒凉，这是什么意思呢？
I think many of us sitting in this room probably have a similar background.
我相信坐在我们当中的弟兄姊妹，我们都有一个非常类似的背景。
You know, many of us came to this country to pursue what is considered the American dream.
很多人呢，我们来到美国试着来追寻寻梦，寻这个美国的梦。
And perhaps some of the younger ones were born in this country as part of the American dream.
也许在我们当中的年轻的弟兄姊妹呢，我们是生在这一个国家里面，我们是在这一个美国梦中。
We may have come to the United States or come to Seattle in order to pursue our career.
也许我们来到美国，我们来到西雅图，试着能够来发展我们的事业。
Maybe we even came as college students.
也许我们来是做学生的。
But then we find, well, Seattle's a pretty great place to raise a family.
然后我们就发现了西雅图是一个非常养育儿女的地方。
And we want to provide the best for our children.
我们试着就要将最好的提供给我们的儿女。
And now that I have a family, I can kind of appreciate those things.
我现在有我也有家庭，所以我对这些事情我也能够更多的领会。
And now I have four mouths to feed instead of just one.
我现在要养家糊口，要供应四口，不仅仅是一口而已。
So I can appreciate this pursuit of the American dream.
所以我能够对这个要追寻这个美国的梦这个点能够多一点的了解。
You know, but does this pursuit get in the way of the Lord's work?
可是这样子的追求呢，是不是在我们在主的工作上面打岔
了？ Does this pursuit get in the way of His will for my life?
是不是这一个追求呢，就拦阻了他在我身上的旨意呢？
You know, I think if we're honest before the Lord, His will is not for me to obtain the best education.
如果我们向着主诚实的话，我们知道他向着我的旨意不是让我得做一个最好的教育。
His will for me is not for me to advance my career.
他的向我的旨意呢，也不是让我在事业上面发展。
His will isn't for me to acquire more wealth.
他的旨意
buy bigger houses, buy nicer cars.
他的旨意也不是让我能够积蓄更多的财富，能够买更大的房子，买更好的车。
And his will isn't for my kids to go to Harvard or Yale.
他的旨意也不是要
UW, which I hear is pretty hard to get into these days.
他的旨意向着我也不是让我的儿女呢去到哈佛，去到耶鲁，或者到这个华大。华大现在也是很难进的。
I think this is the immigrant mentality or dream, right?
我想这个是我们做移民的有共有的一个心态。
And I think many of us may have this.
我想很多人当中，我们很多人当中都有这样的心态。
And indeed, I don't think it's wrong to want what's best for our children.
我想我们替我们儿女预备最好的这件事情不是错的。
But you know, I think we become very short-sighted if we allow our emotions or our joy or our peace of mind to be tied to these things.
可是我相信我们变得短视，如果我们让我们的情感，让我们的心思，或者我们的喜乐与这些事情绑在一块。
You know, the American dream is actually, quite a wonderful ideology.
我们知道这一个美国的这个梦呢，实际上是一个很好的一个理想。
And you hear about these stories of people who come to this country, maybe centuries ago, maybe decades ago, they come to this country without a dime in their pocket, and then through hard work, they can become millionaires.
我们也听到许多的故事，他们也许是几百年前或是几十年前，他们身无分文的来到了美国，就因着他们努力工作，使得他们能够白手起家。
You know, now that we live in New York, we find that many New Yorkers have such a dream.
我们现在住在纽约，我们发现在纽约里面有许多人就带着这样子的梦。
And it probably doesn't help that, all New Yorkers live in very tiny apartments and we just want bigger houses.
这对我们所有的纽约客呢，他们住在，我们住在一个非常狭窄的那个公寓里面呢，对这样子的心态也不是有太大的帮助。
And it probably doesn't help that, it's so expensive to live in New York that you barely have anything to save at the end of the month.
另外一面呢，就是住在纽约是非常的昂贵，每当月底的时候呢，好像都没有太多的余钱。
And as my wife and I are finding out, it probably doesn't help that everyone around you is trying to get their kids into the best schools.
我的妻子和我也发现到，当在我们周遭的人都试着使得他的儿女要进到最好的学校。
You know, that's the New York mentality. You know, they start at kindergarten. You got to get your kid into the best school at kindergarten.
这是纽约人的一个心态，他们从这个幼稚园就开始，从幼稚园开始就要把他们孩子送到最好的学校。
The New Yorkers are trying to live that American dream.
纽约住在纽约的人呢，他们盼望能够活出那一个美国梦。
And we see our friends and we see my colleagues stress about not only their own careers, but you know, where are the kids going to go to school?
我看见我们的朋友，也看见我的同事，他们不仅仅是为着他们自己的事业在那边忧心，并且呢，也为着他们儿女要去哪里上学也在忧心。
And I'm not saying that by not obsessing about these things, I'm any better than them.
当我这么讲的时候，我并不是说我比他们更好。
And of course I do want the best for my girls.
当然我也盼望我的女儿们能够得着最好的。
But I think, you know, this American dream is a pretty worldly pursuit if you look at what it boils down to.
如果我们看见这个美国梦所带出来的结局的话呢，我们发现这是一个在世上的一个追求。
And I think this dream of living in bigger or better houses and driving nicer cars, I think it's a very selfish reality.
我也相信呢，我们盼望能够住一个更大更好的房子，开一个更好的车，这是一个非常自私的一个寻求。
You know, it's easy to be caught up in it and forget about the Lord's eternal purpose for our lives.
我们很容易被这些事情所抓住而忘记神那向着我们生命里面那永远的旨意。
You know, do we become envious that our neighbor's career is better than ours?
我们是不是因着我们邻居他有一个更好的事业
？That their house is bigger or nicer.
我们心存妒忌，或者为着他的房子。
Their car is nicer than ours.
或者因为他有一个更好的车。
Or their kids go to better college.
或者他的儿女去那更好的学校。
And in our envy, do we strive more and work harder?
那是不是因着这样子的嫉妒，我们就试着更发奋的工作，希望能够得胜？
You know, is it this American dream, quote unquote American dream, that is driving us?
我们都被这一个美国梦所推动。
You know, the remnant.I think during these 16 years began to pursue their American dream.
我相信这一些渔民呢，在那个16年当中呢，他们在追求他们的美国梦。
You know, these paneled houses they lived in probably became bigger and nicer.
他们所住的那个有天花板的房屋呢，可能就越变越大。
It even says they probably acquired more livestock and crops and servants.
并且这边讲到说，他们有更多的庄稼，更多的牲畜，也有一些的仆人。
Meanwhile,The house of the Lord had nothing but a foundation.
可是神的殿呢，在那里呢，也仅仅只有根基而已。
You know, when the remnant focused on their own comfort and on their own security and their own joy and peace of mind, they had to toil for these things.
你知道，当那些渔民他们所摆的心思只是他们自己的舒适、他们自己的安全、他们自己的平安喜乐的话，他们必须要花力气。
Haggai chapter 1 speaks of this toiling.
在哈该书第一章里面就讲到说他们如何的在那边劳力。
And in this toil, do we ever achieve that security or peace of mind?
可是在这个劳力之后呢，我们是不是真实得着那个平安呢？
So that's what I think this American dream is. It's actually a mirage.
所以对我而言，我相信这个美国梦实际上是一个幻梦。
You know, we think that it brings us absolute peace and joy and security.
我们相信这，我们认为这一个梦呢，能够带给我们的平安，并且给我们安全。
But I don't think it actually does.
可是我不相信这是事实。
You know, since there are some high schoolers here, I'm going to test you guys, about the Declaration of Independence. So I think some of you have taken U.S. history now.
因为在我们当中有一些高中生，所以我这边要考考你们这个美国历史。
There are three unalienable rights that all men should have.
这边讲到说美国独立。
According to the Declaration of Independence.
美国独立宣言里面有讲到说我们天生俱来的三个权利。
Life, liberty, and what? The pursuit of happiness.
一个是生命，一个是自由，另外一个是那个追求快乐。
You know, the pursuit of happiness, that's the American dream.
你知道吗？这个追求快乐就是美国的梦。
But what the Declaration of Independence fails to tell us is that this pursuit of happiness is a lifelong pursuit.
可是这一个独立宣言里面他没有告诉我们的呢，这一个追求快乐呢是一个一生的追求。
And what it fails to tell us is that this pursuit of worldly happiness is actually not attainable.
他也没有告诉我们呢，我们试着要来追求这个世上的快乐呢，实际上我们没有真的办法能够达到这个快乐。
Not only is this pursuit unattainable, it's empty.
不仅仅我们没有办法得着那个快乐呢，并且这个快乐实际上本身就是一个空虚。
And I'm very confident of this because if you ask the wealthiest people in this world whether they're truly satisfied or happy,You know what the answer is?
我非常对这个点上我非常有自信，因为如果你问这个世界上最有钱的人，他们的生活是不是快乐的呢？你知道这个答案是什么吗？
If you go to New York and ask these wealthy stockbrokers, and some are extremely wealthy, whether they're happy or satisfied.
如果你到纽约，如果你对那些做 stock, 股票，对这边做买卖股票的，你问他们，他们是非常的有钱，你问他们，他们是不是快乐？
You know, I'm confident that they're not satisfied and happy.
我非常有把握的说，他们不是很满足，不是很快乐。
And you know why I'm confident? Because they are still clawing, they're still pursuing. Even with all this wealth, they're still trying to grab.
你知道我为什么有这么有自信吗？因为虽然说他们有这么多的财富，可是他们仍然在那边要抓，这边仍然要在那边要得着。
These are my observations during this short stay in New York.
这乃是我在这个纽约这个短暂的居住所得着的一个观察。
I mean, we've been there for 6 years now, and we've seen some of the wealthy stockbrokers. Some of these are colleagues.My colleagues' spouses, and they live in some really amazing homes. We've seen some really fantastic places.
我们住在纽约有六年了，这些在那边做这个股票交易的这些人呢，很多人是我这个同事的他的另外一半，他们住在一个非常豪华大的房子里面。
And they own amazing vacation homes, and they, you know, their kids go to amazing schools.
他们拥有这一个非常好的度假美屋，并且他们的儿女呢都进了这一个非常让人讶异很好的学校。
And yet, you know what? They still yearn for more.
可是他们呢却仍然有这样子的渴望要得着更多。
You'd think their pursuit of happiness was over.
你认为他们那个寻求快乐这件事情呢已经告一个段落了。
They don't need to keep pursuing. They've got everything.
他们不需要再继续追求了，因为他们已经得着一切了。
But they want more.
可是他们却要盼望得着更多。
They work 80-hour weeks so that they can attain something that's impossible to attain.
他们一个星期呢工作80个小时，盼望能够得着一个他们实际上没有办法得着的东西。
And my guess is at the end of it all, you know, their lives are probably just as empty and fruitless as when they first began that journey.
我相信呢在他们的生活的这个人生的结局呢，他们会看见他们生活里面是一点果子都没有，极其的虚空，就好像他们刚开始的时候。
I think this is that pursuit of happiness that's mentioned in the Declaration of Independence.
我相信这就是那个独立宣言里面讲到说那个追求快乐里面所说的。
The pursuit of worldly happiness is something that will destroy our first love for the Lord.
如果我们要在这个世界上面追求快乐的话呢，就会破坏我们呢起初的爱心。
And it'll destroy the zeal in our hearts for the Lord's things.
这也会破坏我们向着主的事物里面的一个火热。
And what are the Lord's things? They are building up the house of the Lord, doing His recovery work.
主所在意的事是什么呢？乃是要建造他的家，乃是要恢复他的工作。
You know, as I mentioned earlier, we have to be careful because the church in Philadelphia very easily becomes the church in Laodicea.
就好像我刚刚提到的，我们要非常的小心，因为在腓拉铁菲的教会很容易就变成老底嘉的教会。
And we see this throughout church history.
我们在教会历史里面就看到这个点。
You know, I think many of us are aware of the Brethren movement that occurred in the 1800s.
我们大家都记得在19世纪里面所发生的弟兄运动，弟兄会运动。
These saints who lived in England loved the Lord. They had these conventions in Keswick that were very magnifying.To the Lord. They magnified him, you know, they lived for him.
这些弟兄们呢，他们开始向着主非常有心，并且呢，他们在开西聚会里面呢，他们的向着主的心呢，也在那边完全的那个彰显。
These men and women were fervent for the Lord, and they had a heavenly vision of the Lord's purpose.
这些弟兄姊妹们，他们向着主非常的火热，并且他们有那个属天的意象。
And they had a vision for the Lord's church.
他们有向着主教会的这个意向。
You know, in fact, our fellowship here probably has benefited much from the way they gathered and met.
并且我们在这里的聚会呢，因着他们在主跟前所得着，也得着了许多帮助。
We've modeled many of our meetings, after them.
我们聚会的方式呢，有些也可能跟他们很相似。
You know, they were given much revelation.
在那个时候呢，他们得着了许多的启示。
But you know, if you're to visit England today,
可是如果你现在到英国去探访的话，
You might not find the descendants of these brothers and sisters.
可是你恐怕就找不到这些弟兄姊妹他们的后裔。
And you might not find a gathering that meets like they used to gather.
那你恐怕也在那边找不着像当初他们那样聚会形式的聚会。
You know, I asked our brother Dana Condon once, you know, what happened to the brethren movement?
有一次我问康登弟兄，那这些这个弟兄运动这些弟兄姊妹的后裔如何了呢？
He told me that the generation of saints during that movement had much love for the Lord.
他提到说，在那一个时代的弟兄姊妹，他们实在是向着主有非常多的爱。
And their children had much love for the Lord.
他们的下一代，他们的儿女也非常的爱主。
But their children became successful businessmen and lawyers and doctors.
可是他们的儿女呢就成为非常成功的商人，成为成功的律师跟医生。
They became successful in their careers and they began to accumulate wealth.
他们在他们的事业里面非常的成功，他们就在一边积聚财富。
And in that pursuit, their love for the Lord became lukewarm.
在他们因着这样子，他们向着主的追求呢就变得不冷不热。
You know, I think we need to learn from this, especially the younger ones.
我相信我们应该要从这个点上面学一点功课，特别是为了年轻人。
We're better off than our parents were, probably.
我们的光景呢，比我们的父母呢要好得多。
We're better off than when they first came to this country, perhaps.
当我们父母刚来这一个美国的时候呢，我们现在的光景比他们那个时候光景好得多。
But it's very easy for Philadelphia to become Laodicea.
可是非常容易让这个腓拉铁菲的教会变成老底家的教会。
And you know what's sad about the church in Laodicea was they were also characterized by a deception that they were wealthy and they have need of nothing.
这一个另外这个老底家教会的特色呢，是他们也是受蒙蔽，因为他们认为他们是已经发了财，一样都不缺。
But is that true?
可是真实是这样子吗？
In fact, it tells us that they were wretched and poor and blind and naked.
他们真实的情况在圣经里面记载呢，是可怜贫穷瞎眼赤身的。
That's how deceived they were.
这是他们如何的受蒙蔽。
You know, this remnant built up for themselves nice paneled homes.
这些渔民在那个时候为他们建造了美好的自己美好的那个有天花板的房屋。
But in fact, recall in Haggai, it tells us, you have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing,But no one is warm enough, and he who earns wages into a purse with holes.
可是哈该这边描述他们的情况乃是你们撒的种多，收的却少，你们吃却不得饱，喝却不得足，穿衣服却不得暖，得工钱将工钱收在破洞的囊中。
In their worldly pursuit, in their pursuit of worldly happiness, they became deceived.
因着他们在世上的追求，因为他们追求这个世上的快乐，使得他们受了蒙蔽。
And I think that's the work of the enemy today to deceive us.
我相信这就是仇敌现今要做的工作，要蒙蔽欺骗我们。
To deceive us that we can earn a certain level of wealth or happiness or security in this world.
欺骗我们，要我们在这个世上能够积蓄一些的财富，能够得着一些的平安，能够得着一些的安全。
If I can get a bigger house or a better house, if I can get a nicer car.
也许我要能够得一个大一点的房子，好一点的房子，能够得着一个好一点的车。
If my kids can go to a better school.
也许我的儿女能够进到一个好一点的学校。
If I can advance my career, then I'll be secure.
那也许我在这个事业上面更多一点的发展，那我就有这样子的保障。
Then I'll have this feeling of security.
然后我就有这样子的保障，就得着了保障。
But the Lord can make things crash down around us.
可是主能够使这些事情通通在我们一瞬间之间就被毁坏了。
Just when we feel like we've bought our first home, the Lord crashes the market.
就在我们
The Lord allows the market to crash. I should watch my language.
就在我们买第一栋我们第一间房子的时候呢，主就许可这一个
And that sense of security goes right out the window.
那这个我们里面有那个安全保障的感觉呢，马上就没有了。
That sense of peace and joy goes right out the window.
就在那一个在那个时候呢，我们里面的平安喜乐马上就没有了。
That's exactly what the Lord is reminding the remnant in Haggai.
这就是主借着哈该在那边提醒这些渔民的。
You know, this deception goes even further that, you know,If we're a little bit more spiritual, we can still be deceived.
这一个蒙蔽跟欺骗呢，会再往前一步。如果我们稍更属灵一点的话。
Because some of us who are perhaps a little bit more spiritual will say, you know, once I've established myself and my family, then I'm going to serve the Lord.
对我们当中也许比较属灵的会说呢，也许我就先建立我的家，那我就来服侍主。
I'm building up my home and my career and my kids' careers and buying that nicer car, in order to serve the Lord.
我也讲说呢，也许我就在那边建造我的家，发展我的事业，也为着我的儿女发展事业，然后我再买了一台比较好的车，我就开始服侍主。
Because once we accumulated that wealth, we'll be in a better position to serve the Lord.
我们在想说，也许我们积蓄多一点的财富，我们就能够更好的来服侍他。
But we know that in reality, there's no end to that pursuit. You know, we're always going to want more of this world.
而事实上呢，我们在这个追求里面呢是没有尽头的，我们总是盼望能够得着一些。
You know, if we don't serve the Lord now and if we don't pursue His purpose now, we're not going to serve Him later.
如果我们现在不服侍他，如果我们不为着他的旨意来效力的话呢，我们之后我们也不会这么做。
You know, it's very sad. The laying of that foundation to the temple was very quick.
这个非常可悲的是他们在一边立定根基呢这件事情非常快的完成。
In the book of Ezra, it records that it was almost immediate that that foundation was laid.
以斯拉记里面讲到说这一个根基的立定呢好像是一立刻就成就的。
And then once they began to build the temple, the actual construction of the temple only took about 4 years.
而当他们建造这个圣殿的时候呢，这个建造本身呢只花了四年。
It records from the second to the sixth year of Darius's reign, the temple came up.
在圣经里面记载呢，是从大力王第二年到第六年之后，第六年的时候呢，这个圣殿就建立了。
But what a shame that there was such a delay.
可是这一个是多么的可惜啊，中间有这么长的一个耽搁。
From the laying of the temple to the building of God's house, the work only took about 4 or 5 years, but instead it took 20.
从这个建造的本身只花了大概4到5年的时间，可是前后总共的时间呢花了20年。
And that's how the enemy delays God's work.
这就是仇敌如何来单言神的工作。
Even among those who are zealous.
甚至向着那一些向着主火热的人。
You know, when we look at Ezra chapter 5, we see that it wasn't just Haggai that the Lord sent to remind his people.
在以斯拉记我们看见神不仅仅是送了哈该过去。
It tells us that he also sent the prophet Zechariah, the son of Edo.
这边记载着说神也送了义多的孙子撒加利亚。
Now what did Zechariah have to tell the people?
撒加利亚向神的百姓说什么呢?
These people who had loved the Lord but now grown complacent.
这一些百姓原本是爱着主的，可是他们在这边呢，却好像安顿下来。
And whose complacency had lasted 16 years.
他们在这边安于现状的情况呢，持续了16年。
Zechariah chapter 1 verse 3 says, Therefore say to them, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you.
撒加利亚书一章第三节这边说，所以你要向以色列人说，万军之耶和华如此说，你们要转向我，我就转向你们，这是万军之耶和华说的。
Whenever we've fallen away from the Lord, there's a cry from the Heavenly Father, return to me.
每当我们从主的道路上面偏离的时候，我们在天上的父就在那边有一个呼求，要回转归向我。
Return to me that I may return to you.
你们要转向我，我就转向你们。
You know, in the time of the remnant, this word was delivered to the people through the prophet Zechariah.
我们知道在这个渔民的时代这乃是借着先知撒加利亚神向他百姓的呼召。
Today it is delivered to our hearts through the Holy Spirit.
今天也借着圣灵就是主向着我们的呼召。
Return to me that I may return to you.
你们要转向我我就转向你们。
You know, the heart of the Father yearns for his children.
我们知道我们父亲的心是向着他的儿女。
And those of us who are parents can probably understand this.
当我们做父母的时候，做父母的弟兄姊妹，我们能够了解这个点。
You know, I don't think there's any time in our lives as parents where we don't care what our children think of us.
我想做父母的，在我们一生里面，没有任何一个点我们不在意我们的儿女怎么想我们。
We always long to have a close and intimate relationship with our children.
我们总是盼望能够和我们儿女有一个非常亲密的关系。
And if that relationship has grown cold, we always yearn to have that, recovery or that repaired.
如果这个关系变得冷淡了，我们总是盼望能够修复并且恢复那个关系。
And we always yearn that our kids will come back to us so that we can embrace them.
我们总是盼望我们的儿女能够转向我们，我们能够拥抱他们。
And that's our Heavenly Father.
这就是我们天上父的心。
That's His cry. Return to me that I may return to you.
这乃是他的呼求，你们要转向我，我就转向你们。
You know, the church in Laodicea was asked to repent.
我们知道在老底家的教会，他们在那边要被要求要悔改。
And the word repent means to turn around and return.
悔改的意思就是转并且能够回转向。
We have to do a 180 in return.
我们必须要有180度的转向能够归回。
We return to the Father.
我们能够归回我们的父亲。
You know, the church in Laodicea is given this piece of advice.
我们在看见在老底家教会里面他们在那边有一个劝诫。
In Revelation chapter 3 verse 19 it says, Those whom I love I reprove and discipline.Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me.
在启示录三章第十九节这么说，凡我所疼爱的，我就责备管教他，所以你要发热心，也要悔改。看哪，我站在门外叩门，若有听见我声音的就开门的，我就要进到他那里去。我与他，他与我一同坐席。
This was the cry of the Holy Spirit to the church in Laodicea.
这乃是圣灵向着在老底家教会的一个呼求。
This was the cry of the prophets to the remnant who were in Jerusalem in 520 BC.
这乃是当时先知在主前520年向着在耶路撒冷余民的一个呼求。
And I think this is the cry of the Holy Spirit to us today.
我相信这也是圣灵在今天向着我们众人的呼求。
And we praise the Lord because we see that indeed, from the book of Ezra, we find the remnant heeded that call.
我们感谢主，因为我们看见在以斯拉记里面，这些渔民向着神的呼求有回应。
Ezra chapter 5 continues to tell us that then they stood up and rebuilt.
第五章里面记载说，他们这时候就起来重建神的殿。
They rebuilt the house of the Lord.
他们重建主的家。
So hopefully, you know, we'll heed the cry of the Spirit today and similarly do that recovery work of the Lord.
盼望我们今天也能够听见圣灵向我们的呼求，我们也能够站起来做神恢复的工作。
You know, we praise the Lord because He never abandons us.
我们感谢主，因为他从来不放弃我们。
You know, He'll wake us up from that American dream.
他要把我们从这个美国的幻梦中能够摇醒。
Just as He did with the remnant back in 500 BC.
就好像他当时在主前520年向着那些渔民所做的。
And when we finally wake up from this dream, what is the first thing we do?
如果我们能够从这个幻梦里面觉醒过来的话，我们接下来应该做什么呢？
The first thing to do is to repent.
第一件事要做的就是要悔改。
You know, through...The cry of the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, the remnant was called to repent.
这个哈该和撒加利亚里面向着百姓的呼求乃是要他们悔改。
And through the revelation given to the apostle John, the church in Laodicea was called to repent.
借着使徒约翰向着老底家教会的呼求也是要他们悔改。
And if we've lost our first love today,
如果我们已经失去了起初的爱，
If our hearts have grown complacent for God's house and the building up of His church,
如果我们的心向着主要建造他的家，要建造他的教会，我们变得安于现状，
Then hopefully through the Holy Spirit today, we are also called to repent.
盼望也能够借着圣灵，我们今天也能够听见呼召，也能够悔改。
And then lastly, what are we to do after we repent?
最后，在我们悔改之后，我们当做什么？
Just like the remnant, we are called to build.
就好像那渔民所当做的，我们乃是蒙召要做建造的工作。
Or to be concerned with God's house, with His church.
我们要来关心神的家，关心他的教会。
And not our own houses.
不是我们自己的房屋。
And brothers and sisters, at the end of it all, what is at stake?
那弟兄姊妹，在这一切最后所关键的事物是什么？
I think it's the testimony of our Lord.
乃是我们主的见证。
You know, a testimony that He is our God and we are His people.
这个见证乃是说明他是我们的神，我们是他的百姓。
A testimony that He has a dwelling place among us.
这个见证说明到他能够找着一个安息的所在。
You know, that is the evidence of that testimony.
这乃是那一个见证的一个记号。
That He has a habitation in our midst.
他能够在我们当中能够找着安歇的所在。
That He has a place to dwell and a place to call home.
他能够在我们当中找着安息之处，他能够在我们当中找着家。
You know, these are just some of the thoughts that the Lord has impressed upon my heart in recent days.
这就是最近主摆在我心里面的一些的想法。
And by no means, you know, do I preach these words having attained to these things?
当我传讲这些话语的时候，我是不是自己已经达到这些光景了？
These words are actually a reminder of the Lord to me because I need this reminder.
实际上这些话语乃是主对着我的提醒，因为我需要这些话。
I need to be less concerned with my career and my house and building up my family.
我必须要对我自己的事业，并且我自己的家庭，我的房子这些事情能够更少的一些的关注。
I need to be reminded to put the Lord's things first.
我必须要被提醒要把主的事摆第一位。
Because His testimony is at stake.
因为他的这一个见证是关键所在。
And like a loving father, He wants to dwell in our midst.
就好像我们的慈爱的父亲，我们的神，他盼望能够住在我们当中。
So, hopefully these thoughts are encouraging to brothers and sisters.
盼望所分享的那对弟兄姊妹能够有一些的鼓励。
Lord, we thank you for never giving up on us.
主，我们感谢你，因为你从来不放弃我们。
Even if we grow complacent or our hearts grow lukewarm.
虽然我们有时候安于现状，我们的心也变得不冷不热。
You are always there knocking on the door of our hearts.
可是你总是在那边向着我们的心叩门。
Or you just want to come in and dine with us.
你盼望能够进来与我们一同坐席。
You just want to find a place to call home.
你只是要盼望能够找着一个地方，你能够称为是你的家。
And Lord, as a father, now I can relate to that.
主啊，当我现在自己已经做一个父亲，我能够对这个点上面有感觉。
And so, Lord, I pray that for those of us who need it, we repent and turn back to you.
我们的祷告，如果在我们当中如果有人有这个需要的话，我们能够回转，能够转向你的自己。
Lord, we praise you.
我们感谢你。
We give you our worship.
我们将我们的敬拜归给你。
We thank you that the good work you've begun in us, you will bring to fruition.
我们感谢你，因为你开始你的善工，在我们当中必要成就。
And I pray this in Jesus' name.
我们祷告是奉主耶稣基督的名。
Amen.
Amen.